Good morning, sisters and brothers. I want to take a minute to introduce myself. My name is Skylar Rhodes. I am the pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church, and I want to welcome you to our worship podcast. On the campus today, we are returning to in-person worship at 25% capacity of our sanctuary, still maintaining social distancing and mask, but in the room that we define as sacred space after more than a year. And we celebrate that even as we celebrate being with you in this podcast. For you are as much a part of us wherever you are. And we celebrate you and we offer you the love and power that comes with God in Christ Jesus. So welcome to worship today through our wonderful podcast. I also want to offer a shout-out of thanksgiving to all the people who worked so hard to make this happen. God bless you, and thank you. Let us focus and center our hearts now as we call ourselves into worship.
Good morning. Call to worship. Today, we return after many months to our sacred space, to our sanctuary, to join together in worshiping God. This is a day of thanksgiving, a time of hope, a moment of wonder. So come, one and all, and let us give our hearts to God in this time of praise and celebration.
Call to confession. We are not called to confession as a matter of shame or blame, but as an opportunity to come before God with an open and contrite heart. Come, let us pause in this moment to offer our wounds and brokenness, our stumbling and our mistakes to a mighty and gracious God.
As we renew our journey together, we do so knowing that we are beloved and forgiven people. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven.
The first reading today is from Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
I'm reading from John 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And this ends the second reading.
Sisters and brothers, would you take a minute and pray with me as we prepare to wrestle with the sacred text this morning? Holy God, as we come together, we ask that you merge our spirits, connect our souls, and help us to walk with you as we receive the power of your Spirit. And as we struggle with the text today, may the meditations of our common heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. For you and you alone are our rock and redeemer. To you and to you alone do we owe our allegiance. Amen. Well, there's likely no scripture that gets more discussion than this one we just shared from the Gospel of John. It's likely that many, if not all of you, at least have heard of, if not know this scripture well. It's the one that gives rise to a question I've been asked hundreds, if not perhaps thousands of times over the years. You know the question, right? Have you been born again? Well, few passages, have been so overwrought and incorrectly interpreted and applied that I thought on this day of return, on this auspicious occasion of, well, you know, rebirth as we begin to emerge from the vagaries of pandemic and step into a time of change, I thought it would be worth considering. I mean, the story here is clear, right? Nicodemus comes to Jesus and kind of messes with him. He butters him up saying, "Oh, we know your teacher has come from God." And Jesus, sensing where he's going, just tells him, "Well, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Or in some translations, born again. And this is a vexing circumstance, isn't it? Nicodemus has an issue with it as well. He starts trying to argue with Jesus about being born again from your mother's womb and on, and Jesus keeps trying to explain about being born of the Spirit instead of being born of the flesh, right? Well, some contemporary communities in the Christian world have interpreted this to mean that unless you have had an ecstatic religious experience, it somehow equates to birthing, you really aren't Christian, right? And that's the source of a question I keep getting asked. I mean, have you been born again? And the question assumes that there's a correct and an incorrect answer. And friends, I know people who have never had this born-again experience who are devout and powerful Christians. I know people who have had ecstatic religious experiences who are similarly faithful and holy people. But, you know, the question does assume an incorrect and a correct answer. And, you know, yes gets you in the club, no means you're not in. So what really is Jesus talking about here? What does it mean to be born anew, to be born from above, born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit? Let me first get into this spirit and flesh business. When New Testament understanding uses the word flesh like this, it doesn't refer to our physical body or to sex. No, though the English word would indicate that. No, the Greek word here is sarx, and it doesn't actually mean flesh and bone and blood. It refers more accurately to our social reality, to our cultural constructs and understanding. It's about living in the midst of our all too human ways of knowing and perceiving, and you know well what those are, don't you? Being born of the flesh means we live in a culture, well, like the one we live in, where the values we live by are about violence and coercion, about domination and about winning. Power, which is kind of a bellwether indicating our location, is in this sense defined in the way we pretty much all have to deal with it and understand it in our world. Power in our culture is defined by, and I mentioned this, violence, by materialism, by control, coercion, greed, unfettered individualism. You know what I'm talking about, right? But power as defined by God in Christ Jesus gets defined how? It's almost the total opposite, a photo negative. Y'all remember when cameras actually had film, right? A total photo negative of the world in which we live. God, on the other hand, defines power using love. God defines power through compassion. God understands forgiveness, not just of our mistakes, but also of financial debt, as powerful. Grace, servanthood, sacrifice, right? These are the indicators and the definitions of God's understanding of power. So to be born from above, as Scripture says, is to emerge, to step into, to accept a new understanding of power, a new vision of reality itself. Now, please understand that I'm not denigrating anyone's religious experience, no matter how ecstatic or esoteric it might be. These things are real, and we need to understand and share one another's experiences. But to treat such an experience, well, any experience really, like an admission ticket to some exclusive club, no way. Our sense of being born again is rooted rather in our sudden or gradual awakening to a new reality, to the kingdom. If you will, that place where everything is literally turned upside down. I mean, listen to this, friends. Jesus did not come merely to kick someone out from the head of the table and to take his place at the head. He came to turn the table over. He came to tell people, don't sit at the head. Sit in the lowly places. I mean, what's it say in 1 Corinthians 1:18 following? God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chooses what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chooses what is low and despised in the world, things that don't even exist, to reduce to nothing the things that are. See what I mean? You know, we're not born again as some litmus test. We are born again into a new perspective, a new reality created by God in the resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord. So here we are with Nicodemus trying so hard to understand the Master. But at the end of the day, what we need is to simply redefine power and shift into a new understanding of the world, an understanding that literally is upside down compared to what we live in now. So beyond some ecstatic experience, the real call is for us to surrender our understanding of power, of reality, and to embrace what God in Christ is calling us to, which is to practice the way of Jesus, to embrace relationships over product and process, to forgive not just once, but 70 times 7, to let go of our ego so that God can shape us, to love each other beyond our disagreements, to love even our enemies. So my friends, as we step into this transition time, which I'm told is the most intense part of the labor birthing process for a woman, let us imagine our own rebirth into a new reality. We, as community, are in labor, and there is promise for a collective birth into this new reality, into this kingdom of God. So let us leap together into a future where things are different. Let us be born from above, shifting from the world's understanding of power to God's definition of power, moving from a world of things to a universe of love, dancing together to the rhythms of grace and the drumbeat of justice. And let us dive together, friends, into the waters of our baptism, so that no matter where we may go, that powerful moment when we are washed, cleansed, prepared to release the old, to embrace the new, the kingdom, in Jesus' name. So let us go, you and I, into a tomorrow full of promise, a tomorrow full of hope, a tomorrow where things get differently defined in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we come this day struggling together to discover what faithfulness means. We come this day reluctant but willing to lay down our present understanding so we might embrace a new perspective. We come this day willing to grow closer to one another through the power and love of God's hope in Christ Jesus. And so we pray for this community, God. We pray that our bonds grow stronger. We pray that we open our hearts, our minds, our doors, so that we might bring the world to this community of grace and love. And as we step together into a new day, God, we step as ones who engage in the day-to-day realities of this world. For there are those among us, God, who suffer from grief, who have experienced the searing pain of loss, and we ask your healing presence in their lives. There are those of us who suffer from isolation and confusion, and we invite your presence, your healing accompaniment in their lives. There are those of us who are suffering from broken and injured relationships, and we're bold enough to pray for healing. And there are those of us, God, who are simply plain ill, and we pray for healing there, whether it be cancer or COVID. We call on your healing grace to come upon each one who is hurting. God, we pray this and so much more, but at the end of the day, we ask that you shape us into your community. We ask that you create in us willing hearts and eager spirits, and give birth in us to a childlike wonder that is not afraid to dance and yell for joy. And in all of it, God, help us to be the faithful church you have called us to be. In the blessed name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adamaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa daga melo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Ni bukoda manda ni nime miradala, me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sa dagadala viki mami. Ni kakuni kutiki mami gine vere, kamuni vambuli ke mami mene va, nisa nomuni na matinitu, kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
We've reached the time in our service when it is our tradition and our commitment to return a portion of our blessings for the work of God's church. I invite you to give generously and powerfully, and want you to know that there's a lot of ways that can happen. You can write a check and mail it to the church at 410 D Street in Petaluma. You can write a check and drop it by yourself. Just put it in the mail slot in the office door. You can go online at www.petalumaumc.org, and you can donate that way. And now we have a texting process where you can give by texting. So there are all manner of ways to give, and however you choose to do that, We expand the welcome arms of your generosity, and we thank you. So now let us come together in prayer and in peace as we receive our gifts.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, we dedicate these gifts to the work of being your church. Help us to step from the reality of this world into the reality of your kingdom. Help us to refocus our values from the values of our society to kingdom values of grace, forgiveness, and love. And help us in all things as we give these gifts to open our hearts in generosity to the whole world, to be that people who are noted for the depth, the power, and the wonder of their love to all people. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Hear these words of benediction. And as we go now, let us go open to entering a new reality. Let us go willing to hear, to experience, to embrace God's love as never before. And let us go knowing deep down in our spirits that each one of us is irretrievably beloved by God. Beloved by God. Beloved by this church. Beloved by one another, in the name of the Creator, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.